come out, brave the cold weather. The only constant in life is change. You've heard that before, haven't you? Here in South Texas, you don't like the weather. What do we say? Just wait. I mean, was it Tuesday? Beautiful 70-degree weather. By that afternoon, we were freezing. What happened? And even now, as we are waking up to 40-degree weather, this weekend, by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it'll be right back into the 70s. How are your 401k finances doing? All your IRAs and all that. Up and down, up and down. Isn't that something? That stock market. That's the way it's always been, and I suppose always the way it will be. You're looking at the headlines in our world, and it is unbelievable. Here we are again, dealing with conflict, major conflict in our world. And we're all wondering and praying for Eastern Europe and hope that all will settle down quickly. But people are dying, and we're all very worried about that. As I looked in the mirror, thinking to myself, what is it I would want to hear a message from God's Word about? Malachi 3, verse 6 came to mind, where God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. And I hope this passage will help us, encourage us as we think about it today. There's a lot going on that we have absolutely no control over, and what we want to be able to do is appeal to God and say, help my faith, help me in my unbelief and my desire to understand what's going on here. And in these verses that have been read for us, what he says here is meant to at once comfort them, but also to wake them up. I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. What does that mean? God is saying, even though you have been unfaithful to me, my covenant people, I have not destroyed you. And that should give us some hope. Because we also, like ancient Israel of old, we have been unfaithful to the Lord. And yet God is still faithful to us. He loves us. And He wants us to come back to Him. Return to me, He begs them in verse 7. And I will return to you. I love that refrain in the prophets. Return to me, I will return to you. And of course, the response of the people is, well, how can we do that? In this book, you have seen God condemning the priests back in chapter 1. He has condemned the people. This is a book that is short here at the end of the Old Testament, but it is challenging, not just to people of a bygone era, but us today as Christians, as God's covenant people today. There is a message here where God says, I do not change. A similar sentiment is said about Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. When God says, I do not change, He wants these to be challenging words to us because His justice does not change, His demands of us, but comforting as well. I do not change, therefore you have not been consumed. Let's take comfort in this quality of God who does not change. What I would like to do is think about this quality of God and how it describes His character and who He is. And we'll start right here in Malachi 3 verse 6 when God says, my eternal power does not change. I want you to notice there in verse 6 of Malachi 3, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. And you might see it in all capital letters. And we've talked about this before. You are aware that this is God's personal name that He revealed to ancient Israel, specifically to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 14, where God says, I am who I am. That's describing His character. Heard a story recently about a man who had a Facebook post and said, if this post gets 500,000 likes, I will name my son, my unborn son, I will name him Batman. And of course, people write in and say, are you nuts? Why would you do that to your kid? And maybe names don't mean as much to us as they did in ancient times, but they were special. Jesus' name, Jesus means Savior. He was specifically given that name by the angel Gabriel. And you have this name, God, taking on a very specialized form. It's the Lord, a different word than God, but the Lord. And there, many times you'll see in the Bible, the Old Testament specifically, the term Lord used, and it's just a capital L with lowercase O-R-D, just a normal word for Lord, Lord and Master. But this is unique, and you can read in the preface of your Bible, it'll explain to you the ramifications, why this term is being used here. It is describing what is commonly referred to as Jehovah or Yahweh. I've been hearing that a lot in the last 20 years or so. People using this form of the word, taking the letters of the Hebrew original and adding vowels to them, because the Hebrew Old Testament didn't actually have written vowels. And they're trying to pronounce it. Jehovah is what you read a lot in the American Standard Version, for example. And that is this term. And it's based on the verb to be. And what God is saying is, I am. I always have been. I always will be. That cannot be said of you and me. We are finite creatures. God is infinite. And He's the Creator. And He doesn't get tired. He doesn't lose energy. He doesn't need sleep. What's remarkable is that Jesus the Lord, when he took on flesh, God in the flesh did get tired, did need to eat. But God, the Father, the Spirit, they don't need to slow down or sleep or any of that. And we should take comfort in that, knowing that God is eternally powerful. You're on your phone, you're on your iPhone, your Samsung Galaxy, and you're messing with it, and you're talking, and at nighttime, what happens to the battery? It drains, and you need to plug it in and charge it for the next day. And if you don't, oh no, all day long, you're worried about your battery. With God, He doesn't have to be plugged in. He doesn't need to recharge, because He is eternally powerful. I am who I am. I always have been. I always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never will grow tired. He will never sleep. He will never be distracted. And that's what's so amazing about God as our infinite Creator. He is self-existent. And many passages describe this. Here's one from Moses, as a matter of fact. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Can you think of something that is unmovable, unshakable in your life? You can always count on this, or especially this person. My wife, someone might say, she is the rock of this family. What do we mean by that? They're the emotional anchor in our family. They're the person that we can always go to, and they'll know what to do, know how to handle a situation, and we take comfort in that. But the fact is, we're all human. And those anchors, those rocks do shatter. They pass away. Then, what are we left with? And what we need to understand and appreciate is that God is ultimately our rock and our Redeemer, as expressed many times in Scripture. Concerning His eternal nature, Paul, in this beautiful description of God, says that He is immortal. He is alone immortal. And Isaiah, I know I'm looking at two or three different passages here, just trying to overwhelm us with this sense of God's eternal power. I am the first and I am the last. And those words are famously picked up in the book of Revelation, which describe both God and Jesus as the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. We would say the A and the Z, the beginning and the end. What does that mean? God has always been. He will always be. He will never shatter. He will never disappear. What does the Bible say? How does it begin? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get distracted. He's not like us. God created everything from nothing. because He is our all-powerful God. When God created humanity, we have a sampling of His power, His creativity, and His majesty, but God is unlimited in His power, creative mind, and majesty. Well, one of the fundamental differences between us, the creation, and God the Creator, is we do change. How many of you can say of your spouse of 30 or 40 or 50 years, you haven't changed at all from day one? I mean, we're all different. Is Ricardo the same man that you married all those years ago? We evolve, we change. Hopefully you train us and we get better. With God, He does not change. Here's how the Hebrew writer expressed it. He says that Jesus specifically has an indestructible life. Listen to this. The power of an indestructible life. What he's describing is that Jesus is our representative to God. He is our high priest, and He does not change. He doesn't get old. He doesn't die. Under the old covenant, you had priests who had to be replaced, high priests who had to be replaced. But Jesus has an indestructible life. He'll go on to say in verse 25 that He lives forever to make intercession for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Let me tell you, I plan on living forever. So far, so good. I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? Well, we all know that's just not the reality. We're going to die. All of us. One out of every one person dies. That's the ratio. What we need to understand is that we are finite. We are limited. Our very existence comes from Almighty God, with whom we have to do. We live and move and have our very existence from God. He does not change. His power, His eternal power, should comfort us, knowing that He has always been and that He always will be, and He does not change. Secondly, this morning, consider with me also that we should take comfort knowing that God's character does not change. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. I remember years ago going to visit my grandparents, who have now passed away. They were legendary for their hospitality as they lived in Tallahassee for 40 years. My grandfather served as an elder in the church. And well into their 80s, they were very active, traveling. They loved life. But I was with my grandmother, and she had just gotten a hamburger handed to her by my grandfather. And she opened it up, took a bite, and said, "Where's the mustard?" That was out of character for my grandmother to complain. And she just couldn't believe somebody would get a hamburger and not have any mustard on it. And that really startled me. And I'm sure you've seen this with your older relatives as well. They begin to change. And it was a beginning sign of dementia. Of course, Sarah says that's how Amy is now when she's just 18. We all know what it's like to see parents age. And they change. And there are people sometimes who undergo operations and they change completely in their character. It's rare, but it happens. What about God? Does He change? Well, this is describing God's character here. Earlier in Exodus, we saw the statement, "I am who I am." And this is describing God's eternal power. And here in Exodus 34, verse 6, it says, let me tell you who I am. Let me describe myself to you. I am the Lord. The Lord. It's emphasized, it's stated twice for emphasis. I am the Lord, the Lord. Those small cap term, Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. I am God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in covenantal love and faithfulness, keeping covenantal love for thousands. God does go on to describe his judicial wrath against those who refuse to be faithful to Him. And He says that there will be visiting of iniquity on the third and fourth generation. But to thousands of generations, He wants to bestow His love and His mercy. And we are all the beneficiaries of that. Because God wanted His people to return to Him so that He could return to them. There's another passage in the New Testament that describes this character of God, that He does not change, and we should take great comfort in this. As James says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, shadow due to change. That he's using as he does many times in James, he uses a metaphor. He's describing the sun and how a sundial, as the sun moves, will change, the shadow will turn. With God, there isn't any change or variation in His character. He is always going to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger. His eternal power does not change. His personality and character do not change. We change our minds all the time. We evolve. We change in our personalities and in our character. Hopefully we are growing better as we grow more and more into the image of God's dear Son. We are imitating Jesus and becoming more and more like Him. And hopefully our character will be just like God's, loving, forgiving, gracious, slow to anger. This is the gracious God whom we serve, who will not tolerate sin, but gives us time, more than adequate time, to repent. Through His providence, He prawns at us. People who have been brought back to the Lord after years of being out of His presence, and they know, as they look back using hindsight, they're able to see the fingerprints of God working in their lives, bringing them closer and closer to Him. I believe that happens. I've seen that. I believe through His providence, God is constantly working on us to help us become transformed in the image of His dear Son, Jesus. God does not change in His eternal power or in His character. Thirdly, this morning, God's Word does not change. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Word that has been written. And His Word lasts forever. It's truth. It does not change in regard to truth. I want to walk you through a couple of passages here. I'll remind you of words quoted from Isaiah in 1 Peter 1. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls. But in contrast to that, the Word of the Lord remains forever. John's Gospel says the Scripture cannot be broken. Can you stand behind every promise that you ever made? Every commitment that you made? I wish I could. But things change. Circumstances change. But the Bible says about God that He's not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. He's not human like you and I are. He's not going to change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? God's Word has made promises to us, and He will keep them. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about some specific hot-button issues of today. It doesn't talk specifically about abortion. It does have principles, though, about murder. It doesn't talk about same-sex marriage or transgenderism, but there are principles that are expressed throughout both the Old and New Testaments. And we can't change that. And that makes us at odds with the world. Abortion is murder. It may not use that word in the Bible, but it is wrong. It's sinful. It's against humanity. God's Word is not something that we can just take and pick and say, well, I like this passage and I like that passage. We need to read the Bible. We need to understand it in its context, know how it applies to us. And I want you to look at the example of a king. His name is Jehoiakim. He's one of the last kings of the southern kingdom. Knocking on the door is Babylon. In fact, Babylon is the one who appointed him as a puppet king. And I want you to look here when in the ninth month, verse 22, the king was sitting in the winter house, there was a fire burning in the firepot before him. So it's cold, wintertime. As Yehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the firepot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the firepot. Can you imagine having words written by God's inspired prophet, Jeremiah? And the scroll is being delivered to you and read to you. And as it's being read, you say, "Here, give me that. Give me that." You pull out your pocket knife. What Texan doesn't have a pocket knife? And he starts cutting it up and saying, "Nothing. Just throwing it into the fire." It's consumed. Takes another column, throws it into the fire. And then verse 24 gives us this commentary. "Neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid. They did not tear their garments," showing tremendous being upset. That's what people did in the ancient world. They tore their garments. That didn't happen here. Well, God sees this. He knows how he has taken literally the word of God and burned it. Verse 28, "Take another scroll," God tells Jeremiah. "Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, 'Thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David. His dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day, and the frost by night." Jehoiakim didn't like the message of God. He wanted to ignore it. He wanted to burn it and change it. But you can't. In fact, it only got worse for Jehoiakim because of his defiance. Now, what's interesting, we're not going to take the time to read this, but we could turn to the historical books of Kings and Chronicles, and you'll see Jehoiakim's father have a scroll brought to him. And it tells him about the Passover and how they haven't been observing the Passover. And he does tear his clothes. He is distraught and upset because he sees we haven't been doing what the Lord told us to do. And we need to repent immediately. And he set it into action. And Josiah is praised as being one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had, that the southern kingdom of Judah specifically ever had. Why? Because he respected God's word. He wanted to obey his word. We have God's word, and maybe we're not throwing it into a fire, but we're ignoring it when we don't read it, when we aren't internalizing it, when we aren't making it a part of our life. Here's a verse from Jeremiah. He says, "This evil people who refuse to hear my words." What happens when you refuse to listen to God's word? You follow your own heart, and you've gone after other gods and served them. That's what's happening in our world. We are ignoring God's word. We don't care what God has to say. He has spoken to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and we must read his word. We must obey his word. God has spoken to us in these latter days by his Son. I don't need a latter-day revelation. What I need is the word of God that has been given to us in the Old and especially in the New Testaments. We are New Testament Christians, and we need to be reading God's word and know what his will for our lives is. Here's a verse from 1 John 4 and verse 19. I want you to turn there with me. 1 John 4, verse 19. John is often described as the apostle of love. And this is what he says. We love because he first loved us. We can read in God's word about his love for us. And that's what I want to talk about fourth and finally this morning. God's eternal love for us. This quality does not change. Even when we sin, even when we shake our fist defiantly in his face, he still loves us. Think about your own children. When they wander away from home, do you cease loving them? Of course not. But we can't tolerate their sinful behavior. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." That's a good Bible term. And what it's saying is that God's judicial wrath, because of sin, he was angry. He is holy and righteous. There's no sin in him. We deserve eternal separation from God. But then Jesus stepped in and took the punishment for us. Remember Jesus' words in John 15, verse 13? We often cite them. He's talking to his apostles, and this is what he said. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And then he says this, you are my friends if you do what I command you. We are God's friends. If we obey Him, if we trust Him, if we are loyal to Him, like Abraham, we could be God's friend. Like the disciples of Jesus, we can have this close connection with the God who showed us how to love by sending Jesus to the earth to die for sinful humanity, even though we didn't deserve it. If God is willing and able to take that which is closest and dearest to Him, His Son, how will He not give us everything else that we need? He's taken that which is the greatest, His Son. He will give us everything we need for our lives. There's this term, ROC, that was popularized a number of years ago. It's called rate of change. And what it's describing is how our phones, our computers, our electronics, that they change within a year. I mean, if I were to tell you, Chase, I've got an iPhone 8 I'd like to sell you for $600. Does that sound good? Like, an iPhone 8? That was like 10 years ago. Who wants a dumb iPhone 8? And yet your iPhone 13 one day will be obsolete too, that we love so much. Things change dramatically. You buy a computer and 2 days later, it's old news. Got a new chip. Technology is constantly changing. But not the Lord. Our stock exchange is constantly going up and down. I'm getting older. I have aches and pains. I heard a story about somebody who went to the doctor and said, look, I'm having some back pain. My back is tightening and I'm having some difficulty moving around. And the doctor looked at him and said, you're 67 years old. What do you expect? Because we get old and we change. Our bodies change. But God does not change. And we should take great comfort and consolation in this. There's a song we like to sing, The Days of Elijah, and there's this fancy part that goes on several pages, and it's called a coda. And this is the overriding message of the coda for that song. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. And this is the God we serve, who did great things in the Old Testament, who does great things in the New Testament, and does great things in our lives today. Why? Because He has said, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I do not change. We see change all the time, happening right before our very eyes. Change and decay all around I see. Thou who changest not, abide with me. God wants to have a relationship with you. He sent His Son so that we can become friends of God if we are obedient to Him. I want you to walk out of this building today knowing with confidence, I am a child of God. I am faithful to Him. I am loyal to Him. He loves me. And I will be His follower for life. If you have never named Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, God says, return to me, that I may return to you. Clothe yourself with Jesus in baptism. If you have wandered away from the Lord, He wants you to come back. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Can we help you renew your relationship with God? We hope you will let us, and we urge you to come forward right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.